You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. 6:06 on a Tuesday. It's November 4th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or catching us through the live stream on Facebook or YouTube, podcast, website, all the other ways to get here. We appreciate it very much. I got a question for you. Is there a place where you used to work that if you went back there for a visit, you would be cheered, you'd be given a hearty welcome, even if it was, say, you left for a competitor, but you left on decent terms? Or would you face a more hostile greeting? In a couple of minutes, we'll tell you how it played out for someone who made an awkward visit back to their old job. But it got me wondering for you, what job site, what would you like to revisit? A place to go back to where you haven't? Maybe there's still some old coworkers there and you haven't seen them in forever. Or what job site will you never go back to because you're quite sure your old colleagues would not be very welcoming? If you have any thoughts to share on that, get in the comment sections of Facebook or YouTube or give us a call at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also use that Civic Media app to call us or to text us or to use a voice note and tell us how things might play out if you were to go back to one of your old jobs. We'll talk about that a bit. Also, in some breaking news, former Vice President Dick Cheney has passed away. He was 84 years old. The news coming down in the past hour, the cause was complications of pneumonia and cardiac and vascular disease. He had had coronary problems all of his adult life. He also had a connection to UW-Madison. He went to school here as a doctoral student in political science from 1966 to 1968. For a time, he worked for Wisconsin Governor Warren Knowles when he was a student, and his wife, Lynn, is a graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She went here as a graduate student from 66 to 68, earned a PhD in English in 1970. Again, Dick Cheney has passed away at the age of 84. So you'll hear more about that throughout the coming day, throughout the day as well. Now, there is 1 year to go until Election Day in Wisconsin for some very big elections. Governor, of course, is tops on the list, but there are congressional elections, legislative elections, a whole host of others. It is an election day in some other key states. We'll be watching to see what happens in New Jersey, in New York City, in Virginia, in California, among others. And so I am sure at this time tomorrow, we'll be talking about what those numbers say, especially versus what we think they might say, because it doesn't matter who's on the ballot today. I mean, it matters, but my point is, the interpretation is going to be through a national lens. And what does that say about what voters are feeling about the government shutdown, about the Trump administration, about Trump himself? And it's not necessarily fair to the candidates who are on the ballot today, but you know, that's pretty much how it works. And so we'll watch those elections. But as for today, with 1 year until elections, an hour from now, we will be talking with Emily Berge, who is a candidate for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. That's the Derek Van Orden District in western Wisconsin, parts of central Wisconsin as well. She's one of two Democrats running, hoping to unseat Van Orden next year. And so we will visit with her coming up a little later this morning. And we'll tell you more about what's coming up in the show in just a bit here. But first, down to Madison we go and Studio A2, where producer Parker Olson is standing by, near as I can tell, because I don't know if he's adjusted his headphone. Are you still hearing me halfway, or are you, what is happening over there?
What?
Exactly. See, what did you do?
We're one-sided here. I don't know what I did, Pat. I laid down. I think that was my problem. I laid in bed last night and I watched a YouTube video, and all of a sudden I'm like, my left ear feels kind of different. It's a little.
And that's the one. Was that the one you were laying on, or
yeah,
was that?
It's one I was laying on, and all of a sudden I'm like, feels a little quiet over there. And I roll over and I go, oh, I just can't hear out of my left ear.
Out of your one ear.
I can. All right. It's a little exaggeration. I can kind of hear out of my left ear.
Okay.
I don't know. It feels like I got to pop it and I can't pop it. So,
Yeah, I think I know the situation. Sometimes it's fun to welcome a 22-year-old into the world of life in your 60s. But
that's good to hear him three times my age. Good. Thanks.
Well, Alicia says, did Parker's cold move to his ears? It could be. But
that
it could also be, I would just try those eardrops for earwax and see if maybe a little smidge of something moved to a place where it shouldn't be. And you don't want to go after it with a Q-tip or anything. The easy part is, I have to lay here on my side for 15 minutes while I put these drops in and let them fizz like an Alka-Seltzer tablet or something. Okay, I can lay down for 15 minutes. But then comes the funny part, and that's walking to the shower with your head still turned as close to 90 degrees as possible, and then getting in the shower and letting it drain out and everything else. So look at the fun things we can talk about at 6 o'clock in the morning here.
Pat, this sounds like a solution that could be solved by just starting in the shower.
But you have to keep your head for 15 minutes. That's why they want you to lay down.
Bring
otherwise, you're going to trade the ear problem for a crick in your neck.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's how it goes. You solve one problem with another.
There you go. Let's see. Alicia also says, anytime I've visited an old job, I've been greeted kindly because I try not to be a total booger. She says, in parentheses, radio safe language. Yeah, that's I know what you mean. Tony says, I'm not sure if I walked into my current workspace, anyone would know who I am. The joys of remote work. Absolutely, Tony.
Yeah.
Same here. I've only been to Civic Media's world headquarters like 5 times. And I can't tell you how many times I've looked at somebody like, hey, Pat, how are you? And a little voice in my head going, I don't know who this is. I got no idea. And if I ask, I'm going to look so stupid. You know, so.
You have asked me who that was after someone has said hi to you.
Yes, I have. Yes. And I'm sure your thought was like, how did you not know that was so-and-so? But again, unless they're on my screen here, they're just a name in the chats.
Yeah.
You know,
that's fair. It's a little world.
Exactly. Here's what else is coming up on the program today. We will be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. He is Civic Media's political editor as well. And he's only the latest person to write about Mandela Barnes and whether he should or should not run for governor. I mean, the New York Times did a piece. The Milwaukee Journal just did a piece. There was a strongly worded editorial in the Milwaukee Courier newspaper that said on behalf of part of Milwaukee's Black community, they don't want Mandela Barnes to run for governor for critical reasons. So we'll talk to Dan about that. Also, we're going to talk to Courier Newsroom's Cam Stevenson from the nation's capital here about the shutdown. And we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser as well. Parker, I'm going to pause and take a sip of coffee here while you take a stab at who we were talking about going back to their old job.
Oh, boy. Yeah. You know, I was okay with that. I was pretty well-liked throughout. I think if I were to go back to my college newspaper, I would get more warm of a welcome than I would like to get.
Okay. Like they want you to re-enroll?
Yeah, probably. Okay. I had a guess.
Well, it didn't work out that way for Miles Turner. Miles Turner did a lot for the Indiana Pacers. And as a result, a lot of Milwaukee Bucks fans did not like Miles Turner, but now Miles Turner is a Milwaukee Buck. But after everything he did for the Pacers, he kind of thought his longtime fans would give him at least a polite warm ovation in his first game back against his former team. And no, he heard booing all night long from the moment the PA announcer introduced the pregame video tribute. And every time Turner touched the ball, every time he scored a point, every time he checked into the game, a hurtful crescendo of jeers would restart, according to the AP story. He said it was disheartening. Man, it was frustrating. You give 10 years of your life, your blood, sweat, and tears. You take pay cuts. You survive trade rumors. You try to do everything the right way. And then sometimes that stuff shakes out. And Bucks coach Doc Rivers said after the game, he was discouraged by how it all played out. But to be fair, Indiana had said they wanted to re-sign Turner, but he left. And he left for a division rival. I would point you toward the things I've said about Craig Counsell.
Yeah.
He also said some things about wanting to be on a competitive club. And he says it didn't come out the right way. It didn't come out the way he meant them to. But this was clearly not a Willie Adama situation last night for Miles Turner, you know.
Yeah.
But as for the game, the Bucks pulled out a 117-115 victory. Giannis with a buzzer beater, a mid-range jumper from about 17 feet away was your dagger. Giannis scored 33 points. And again, the Bucks squeak out a victory over the Pacers, and they headed right to Toronto. They will be playing there tonight, and then they will be home Friday against the Chicago Bulls. So that's where that came from. Wondering if you'd go back to your old place, would you hear cheering or booing? And we've got both Willie Adames and now Miles Turner as examples here.
Gotcha. You know, mm-hmm. It really sucks when the team does the right thing. Like doing a tribute video for a guy who's been with you for 10 years, like that is exactly what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
Very good job by the Pacers. That sucks that the fans did not give him a good welcome.
They did not. But again, I think of all the booing for Craig Counsell, and it's like, okay. So how much of it was because it was a division rival versus things he said or whatever?
Yeah.
Roger echoes a sentiment on old jobs on Facebook that we've talked about here. It's been 11 and a half years since I left my previous employer. I believe the entire staff has turned over in that time.
Yeah.
Which would make sense because it certainly has at the TV station, but I couldn't really go back to the TV station because I'd been there for nearly a decade anchoring the news, then decided to run for office. Nobody knew my political affiliation. I was very careful about that on air. So immediately 50% of the people, the ones who thought I was a Republican, were very mad, and it would have worked the other way had I declared as a Republican. And of course, in the newsroom, they don't want to be seen as currying favor.
Yeah.
So it was always a little awkward when I was back there. It's
you
a little bit better now, but especially when I get to see, you know, my old co-anchor Judy Clark and things like, oh, which reminds me, speaking of broadcast legends, Jane Mattinair.
Yes.
Announcing yesterday on her show that she is retiring come December. Jane, we love you. Bless you.
Congratulations.
You're going to have so much fun. You're going to do so much traveling. I am absolutely sure.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. So we just wanted to put that out there in case you missed it yesterday. Jane Mattinair, absolute legend.
Mm-hmm.
Radio legend in Milwaukee. And she hates when you say that, but it's true. And we've loved having her at Civic Media these past couple of years, but it's really gotten into my head. It's like, and I know she's a couple years older than me, but still it's like, oh, she's retiring in December.
Clock's
What can I do?
How can I make this happen sooner?
How can I make this work for me? And then I'm like, wait a minute, you're a political beast and there is an election cycle ahead. And by the way, you're doing this thing you love doing. I am working my dream job here. This is fantastic. I also get to share with you that the Badger men's basketball team, ranked 24th in the country, won their season opener against Little Campbell University, the Fightin' Campbell Soup Cans of North Carolina, 96-64. John Blackwell led the Badgers, scoring with 31 points. They will host Northern Illinois come Friday. We're going to talk about a bunch of bills vetoed by Governor Tony Evers, and your daily history lesson is on the way in just a little bit as well. First, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I still haven't even told you everything that's coming up on the program today. We'll also talk to Hans Breitenmoser, and he's brought along a couple of friends, Keith Phelps and Scott Hirschberger, who work in forest management, a special kind of forest management, encouraging the growth of forests in order to store more carbon and help fight a changing climate. So we'll hear all about the plans to do that, which is more than just, you know, plant a lot of trees. More to it than that, of course. And all the other topics I mentioned earlier. So if you can't stick around for the whole show from now until 9 o'clock, get yourself over to Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us that way. And that way you can listen on demand. And while you're signing up for things, get over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and sign up for our Sunday morning newsletter with a focus on Wisconsin politics and a little bit of national politics as well. And our question of the week, where this week I ask you about the economy over the next 12 months. Because remember, there's a big election 1 year from now. And how's the economy going to do between now and then? Is it going to kind of, you know, tread water, kind of the same kind of slog we're going through? Are we going to a better place? Things are rough right now, but things are going to get better at some point here? Or do you feel like things are actually going to get worse from here over the next 12 months? A lot of folks responding so far. You can sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com and find out more. In our weekday newsletter, Ellie Bordeaux has put that together. This morning's edition is out. It includes a way that you can help support food banks because of President Trump's government shutdown and cutoff of SNAP benefits. Hy-Vee is offering hot food service and free kids meals this week for kids 12 and under from 4 until 7. And then that same meal will be offered to everyone else at $3 with to-go or dine-in options. That story and so much more in our newsletter. Again, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, so here's a fair question to ask about the way our legislature should work. Is it a waste of time and money, a waste of taxpayer resources for legislators to create and listen to and debate and pass the bills that they know are going to be vetoed by the governor? Well, some would say it's right. It's the right thing to do. You're making a statement by passing those bills, even if the governor vetoes them. Others would say, you know, that's right up there on par with this meeting could have been an email. Instead of going through all the rigmarole of writing a bill and scheduling committee hearings, just issue a press release on what it is you'd like to do if you had a governor of your same party. Well, either way, Republicans sent a bunch of bills to Governor Tony Evers, and he vetoed a bunch of the bills. He signs a lot of bills, too, but he vetoed several Republican bills, some of which they have passed to him before. And he has vetoed before. And that's the part that kind of gets to me. It's one thing if you pass a bill one time to make a statement. It's another thing if you kind of keep repeating the process over and over, because now you look like you're just looking for something to do instead of actually doing things that could pass and could be beneficial to your constituents. So, again, the governor did sign some bills, like the bill that would lead to an eventual cell phone ban in all schools. There was a bill that would crack down on reckless driving, but he vetoed one that would require state employees to return to full-time in-office work because many had gone off-site, of course, during the pandemic. And as the governor noted, frankly, there are some jobs that have worked better as offsite jobs rather than cramming everybody into a bunch of cubicles or whatever the case may be, and that these state agencies need the flexibility to determine which jobs should come back in-house and which jobs should continue to be, you know, remote, and maybe the legislature shouldn't be micromanaging that. And again, you may disagree, but that was his reason for vetoing it. He also vetoed a bill that would have limited how John Doe investigations can be done, especially when it comes to police officers who shoot and kill people in the line of duty. And we've talked about this one before. The DA has the authority to determine whether or not to issue a criminal complaint to charge someone like a police officer with a crime. If the DA decides not to file a criminal complaint, a judge can still hold a hearing, listen to evidence, and then determine whether there is probable cause to believe that a crime was committed and then issue a criminal complaint, which would lead to formal charges against that officer. And why would you do that? Well, frankly, because there's times where the district attorney might be a little too cozy with police officers. And this is a way for a third party essentially to look at things. And Republicans want to take that away. They want to say, you know what, if the DA decides not to press charges, that's it. That's the end of the matter. They passed a bill saying as much, and Evers said, nope, we're going to veto that as well. Let's see, what else was there? There was one that was micromanaging the Department of Workforce Development, basically as a way, again, to make it tougher for people to collect unemployment. Yeah, he vetoed another bill that changed the identity verification process for unemployment compensation. Again, these are solutions in search of a problem. There was another one that would go after people who applied for jobs but then didn't show up for the job interview. Because again, there are Republicans that want to carry on the trope of like all these people are applying for jobs with no intention of going to the interview. But now you're penalizing people who actually can't make it to an interview. Maybe they've got a sick kid. Maybe they can't get childcare because their Head Start center just closed, things like that. So he vetoed that bill as well. Here's another bill that's going to get vetoed because it just got introduced. Here's a new bill, Assembly Bill 560. It will seek to ban absentee ballot drop boxes. Yeah, we talked about this when it was a just language for a bill that some Republicans said they were going to introduce. And now they have formally introduced a bill that would ban absentee ballot drop boxes. Because again, it just seems if you can't win election on your ideas, you try to limit the amount of people that can vote. All right, you occasionally hear me gush about an album that you've got to have, even if the album's more than 30 years old. It is just that good. And we are kicking things off with, we're just going to rock out for the start of today's history lesson and get yourself set to download the album that I'm going to tell you about in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Today's history lesson starts with a little Delbert McLean. She got a roof but don't leak. Delbert McLean is 85 years old today. Happy birthday, the legend from Lubbock, Texas. And I cannot recommend enough his 1992 album, Never Been Rocked Enough. That song there, Every Time I Roll the Dice, is track one on it, and every one of them is just amazing. The album was co-produced by Bonnie Raitt. That might tell you something. She's got a duet with Delbert on the album. Tom Petty and Melissa Etheridge singing some of the background vocals. Just an excellent album, top to bottom. That's Delbert McLean, who today turns 85 years old. All right, on the birthday list today as well, Ralph Macchio, 64 years old today. And here's where, again, we pick on poor Parker so much for the things that he has or hasn't seen. But the fact of the matter is a lot of my friends and colleagues, they can't believe a lot of the things that I haven't seen. And Ralph Macchio leads to this admission. I've never seen 5 minutes of a Karate Kid movie. Oh. Any of them. Not the original, not any that followed.
Jeez. Never. I thought you were a classic films kind of guy. What happened?
I am, like Casablanca, not Karate Kid, but that's me. Anyway, that little Karate Kid, Ralph Macchio, 64 years old today. Jeff Probst from Survivor is also 64. I can't square that, again, because they were famous at two different times. The Jeff Probst and Ralph Macchio were born the same day and are 64 years old.
Yeah, that's a little weird, actually.
Yeah. A melancholy happy birthday anniversary to Loretta Swit, Hot Lips Houlihan from MASH. She passed away back at the end of May at the age of 87. She was born 88 years ago today. All right, time for a little album chart trivia. It was on this day in 1997 that an album was released that is still one of the top 10 albums of all time. You'll know which album I'm talking about just by the first line of this song.
Let's go, girls.
That'd be that one. Come on. Shania Twain released her third album, Come On Over, this day in 1997, with that track there, plus that Don't Impress Me Much, Honey, I'm Home, From This Moment On, You're Still the One, Love Gets Me Every Time, Don't Be Stupid. At 31 million certified copies sold, it is the world's seventh best-selling album of all time. And by the way, we talked about this a year ago and said at the time it was the eighth best-selling album of all time. So it's actually
so it's
climbing the list. As somehow, I forgot to see which one below it, but people bought more of Shania Twain's album than of whatever was above her on the list. So it's still climbing the charts.
That's wild.
I know. So again, that album was released this day in 1997. The number one song this day in 1972 was by Johnny Nash.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone.
That was 1972. On this day in 1973, in the Netherlands, they had their first ever car-free Sunday, which was caused by the OPEC oil embargo of 1973. So on Sundays, highways were only to be used by people on bicycles and roller skates, since gasoline was really hard to come by.
Only in the Netherlands could that happen.
I feel like we could have done that, yeah, with more. Anyway, let's see. What else have we got today? Oh, 1978. Oh, okay. Now we have to bring down Johnny Nash, because I so love this next song, and I want to hear the very, very beginning of it, because it's off of Linda Ronstadt's Living in the USA, which on this date in 1978 went to the top of the album chart with a lot of remakes, including this one. There's not a lot of people who can take a song by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles and make it their own. Linda did it. She had this. She had Just One Look and other singles off the Living in the USA album, number one, this day in 1978. The number one single this day in 1978 was also a slow song. It's Anne Murray. I'm not going to badmouth Anne Murray. It's just that it's no Linda Ronstadt, but here was the number one single from Anne Murray this week in 1978.
So high that I could almost see eternity. You needed me. You needed me.
It is fair to say, by the way, with these two songs from 1978, that not everything was disco 24/7. There was still room for something else now and then.
That's a good point, yeah.
1 year later, 1979, the Iran hostage crisis. A group of Iranian college students overran the U.S. Embassy in Tehran and took hostages, some of whom would remain in captivity for 444 days. 1 year later in 1980, Ronald Reagan would be elected 40th president of the United States, defeating incumbent Jimmy Carter. And our country has never been the same since, and that is not a compliment. Thankfully, offsetting that is 2008 on this day, Barack Obama became the first person of biracial or African-American descent to be elected as president of the United States. Sadly, that made far too many people lose their minds, and our country hasn't been the same since. On this day in 1989, the number one song was by the Swedish pop rock duo Roxette. And now we're going to go way up to 2015, 10 years ago today. Chris Stapleton had a big night at the CMA Awards. He won New Artist of the Year, Male Vocalist of the Year, and Album of the Year for Traveler, his solo debut. And he also mesmerized the crowd with a performance of this song.
It's Tennessee whiskey.
Now, I will say that, again, that performance he did with his wife, Morgan, and Justin Timberlake, it says here it went viral. It didn't for me at the time, but looking at it yesterday, I'm like, oh, yeah, I totally see this. They completely killed this one in a good way. And I loved one of the comments on YouTube that said, I don't always listen to this song, but when I do, so do my neighbors.
Yeah, it is one of those songs you just have to blast.
Just turn it up. So I would recommend the version Chris Stapleton, his wife Morgan, and Justin Timberlake from the CMAs 10 years ago today. All right, the National Day Calendar is here, and we have a bit of a spoiler alert. We might have talked about this one already, Parker.
We might have talked about this one a little bit already. It's Election Day, Pat.
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes. But a good reminder as well that there are elections 1 year from now in Wisconsin. And if you're not registered to vote, head to myvote.wi.gov and look up your information.
I have to register to vote.
Parker, yeah. You've set this up as just like the world's perfect public service announcement. Here we go. Parker, don't be dismayed. Checking your registration status is quick and easy. Go to myvote.wi.gov. And if you've moved and need to get registered in your current location, there are quick and easy instructions in there for it.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank you, Pat. Now I feel like I can really go out and make a difference in my community by voting.
It's almost like we rehearsed this. I promise you, we did not. All right. I thought I was gonna be unhappy about this next one, but go ahead. What's next on the National Day Calendar?
Candy Day, not candy corn candy. Day. Candy.
Not any specific kind of candy.
No.
And this is where I was gonna blow candy up again and go, what's with these general things like candy? It's like we have days for every other candy. But then I had a revelation.
Oh yeah,
it's when my Catholic upbringing kicked in. It's like, wait a minute, we have something called All Saints Day, which we just celebrated.
Oh,
and we have all the days for all the other saints. But yeah, there's an All Saints Day. So today is kind of the All Saints Day for candy, just all candy.
That's one way to look. Yeah. Okay.
And
I like that.
And I have a confession to make. Uh-oh. about candy and candy corn.
Uh-oh.
So I did pick up some candy corn because we had a jar of peanuts that hadn't been emptied yet, and we'd been nibbling on that for a while, kind of making a little salted nut roll.
Sure.
But now I'm out of peanuts.
Uh-oh.
And I just got all this candy corn. I don't want to eat just plain candy corn.
Oh, oof. Gosh.
I know. Let's see. From Alicia, she says, oh, I am registered. And she says, I think the election of Barack Obama was the start of my journey away from the Tea Party. Well, the Tea Party really got going in the midterms in 2010. And again, it was the people who lost their damn minds over Obama being elected. And yeah, it's some people were pulled to it, and then some people were repelled by it in time, repulsed by it, I should say. Perhaps it has something to do with our third entry on the National Day Calendar.
Well, Pat, some people just need to remember that today is Use Your Common Sense Day.
Just common sense, folks. Yeah. That's all we're asking. Today is common sense day. All right. What do we have for entertainment news today?
Well, perhaps not very common sense. Disney is in a dispute with YouTube TV over rights, media rights. And frankly, everyone is just going, oh, well, this is just another wrench in my trying to stream stuff. A lot of people are annoyed because Disney has, you know, ABC and ESPN. So people are not watching a lot of sports.
So I did not know that this was a thing late last week when it first happened. And then called my mom to check in.
Oh, boy.
Hi, Mom. How are you? Patrick, I'm so angry. What
Uh-oh.
Now? You know how my mom occasionally calls me and says, do you know what they said on The View today? And I'd be like, no, Mom, I have a job. And I kind of follow the news myself. But she... She's like, and now I can't watch The View. I can't watch my shows because her local ABC affiliate was on YouTube. She was a streamer. She'd cut the cord. We
sure.
got her all set up with YouTube TV and all the apps. You know, she was streaming Yellowstone on Paramount, and she was streaming other things through HGTV or whatever. She was a happy little cord cutter until Disney and YouTube got into this fight with Google and cut all the ABC and ESPN stations off. And so, yeah, you hear mostly about ESPN, that people can't get their ESPN on there,
yeah.
But people want their ABC stations, man. And they are not happy.
No, there's been a
because
lot. Because
here's $1 billion company against this $1 billion company. Who are you rooting for on that one?
Yeah.
Except for maybe both of them to burn down. You know, I mean, honestly, what do you do?
Yeah, I don't know. It was funny to me. I saw a comment from J.J. Watt yesterday complaining
really?
About it. And he's like, I'm not paying for another streaming service. I guess I'm just not watching Monday Night Football now. I'm like, wow. Interesting, because he can afford to do it, and
he
he's
can
choosing
afford
not
to do
to.
It. But it's the principle of it, and you know, and much like health insurance and all these other things, cell phone plans. There's like no easy thing. It used to be you call your cable company. How much does it cost to hook up? You know, $9.99 a month or whatever. It was probably $5 a month back when I first got cable. And that's it. And now it's, well, you could go with the silver package or the silver medallion package or the gold package or the gold medallion package. No, we don't offer that. You know, it's that way for everything. It's so convoluted and unnecessarily so. So Google, Disney, we're rooting for you to find an agreement.
Please.
And then get broken up. Please. We'll be back. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Nice to have you back here on a Tuesday morning. Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls, Parker Olson in Madison producing things, and then your phone calls, texts, comments, all welcome at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or call us through the Civic Media app, text us through the Civic Media app, leave a voice note through the Civic Media app, or get in the comment sections on Facebook and YouTube, like Roger did from Stevens Point, to talk about how actress Diane Ladd, who just passed away, in 1974 portrayed Flo in the movie Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. And I have to straighten out again for our younger listeners, not Flo from Progressive. This was a waitress character in this 1974 movie, Flo. And when the movie became a TV series, the TV series Alice, 2 years later, Polly Holiday took over the role of Flo. And then when Holiday left the series for her own spinoff, Diane Ladd created a new role as Belle and stayed for a few episodes. But Diane Ladd passed away just 2 months after Polly Holiday did. So a couple of entertainment legends from the early 1970s have passed away that we wanted to share today as well. What else do we have in entertainment news here today?
Well, Pat, Dr. Phil. He has been ordered to liquidate his media company. That is the order. He's in a bankruptcy case. Ordered to liquidate it because of worries of alleged wrongdoing. Apparently, there were text messages that were deleted, which suggested that he was filing for bankruptcy just to jumpstart a new company.
Oh, I had not heard this. Gee, Dr. Phil, the guy who's always talking everybody else down, you know, because I'll say it again, kids. I'll say it again. Look, you can give all the advice you want. I don't have a problem with that. It's when you strike the holier than thou pose, you know, that it, you know, you're just inviting karma. And Dr. Phil's not like you and I, we would talk at length about our foibles. And, you know, but we also wouldn't try to, you know, commit the crime of declaring bankruptcy just to get out of paying your bills and then starting a whole new company. You can't do that, kids. And Dr. Phil just got caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
I guess so. It is. Yeah, it is his media company that's kind of going down, I suppose.
Yes, no doubt there. All right. What else we got new out there on the streaming services?
Over on Netflix, you can watch, there is a new series that they've got called Famous Last Words. It's in-depth interviews with famous people, but they don't release the interview until after the person has died.
Okay.
So it's like, there's only one right now. It's Jane Goodall.
Okay.
I don't know how I feel.
So
about
Jane
this.
Goodall agreed to be interviewed.
Yeah.
And the condition was it wouldn't be released until she died.
Yep.
Okay.
It's an interesting premise.
First off, there's a certain level of trust there that you go, yeah, I'm going to spill all my secrets and you're not going to air this until I'm gone. And then like a week later, you turn on National Scandal as celebrity admits, blah, blah, blah. I don't think if I were you know, a celebrity, if they approached me for something like that, I mean, not me, but if I were a big time celebrity, I don't think I could go along with that.
No, it seems a little,
maybe I'm just cynical. Well, I've been accused of that before.
We know that. But yeah, in this case,
Okay, so it's a series of one at this point?
At this point, yeah. I don't know who other people are, but apparently there are other people who have or will do this. And we don't know until they die. So I guess it's all a waiting game, Pat.
Okay. Speaking of a waiting game, the wait is over. I know people were trying to find out the news yesterday, but you had to wait until like midnight or something to find out that People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive 2025 is Jonathan Bailey, the star of the Wicked movies. To which I had to say, who?
Thank you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so he takes over People's Sexiest Man Alive from John Krasinski, who had the honor last year. But I mean, the Sexiest Man Alive Award, the first one, do you know who the first one was?
You?
1985. No, not me, sadly. No. I finished second that year. Mel Gibson. It's also been, you know, Brad Pitt, George Clooney, JFK Jr., David Beckham.
JFK Jr.?
Again, the award was created in 1985, Parker. This is 80s. Okay. Long before his passing in 1999. Yes. Okay. The JFK Jr. was a big deal. And then, again, passed away in a plane crash far too early. David Beckham had been it, John Legend, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Pierce Brosnan, Patrick Dempsey, and the one that always kind of befuddled me, Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd's a perfectly wonderful person, as is John Krasinski, don't get me wrong, but Paul Rudd's like, sexiest man alive? I don't know. Yeah. Jonathan Bailey had lots of great things to say about it. He also spoke about being, you know, an outward gay actor. He founded the Shameless Fund, which supports LGBTQ+ organizations, and says, I know the LGBT sector is under immense threat at the moment, so it's been amazing to meet people who have the expertise and see potential that I could only dream of. And so, again, that's Jonathan Bailey, Sexiest Man Alive for 2025. So let the lobbying begin. Let the campaign begin for the Sexiest Man Alive 2026. Tony and Ashlyn puts on YouTube, I was robbed. Yes, Tony, you were. But again, maybe next year we can put that in. You know who we do have coming up in our next hour, voted Sexiest Man Alive in Rhinelander year after year after year. Really? Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12, WJFW-TV, will be joining us to talk about the stories that he is following up in his part of the Northwoods. And because it is 1 year until Election Day, we're going to be talking to congressional candidate Emily Berge, the Eau Claire City Council president, who is running in the Democratic primary for the 3rd Congressional District, looking to unseat Derek Van Orden. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Much more coming up after the news. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.